be offering to chapters, and then it was emailed out shortly after that. Thank you, everybody, for your input. The final proposal was emailed out, including what services were going to be offered for how much, all the money from that going back to APTI to help us cover our fixed costs. We are actually in the process of getting the e-chapter incorporated into the new system. Slowly but surely, we are getting everything we need to finished and up and running. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great services, but I think the better portion of this call, or at least the portion I'm going to be discussing, would be to answer any specific questions that I have about the proposal that was distributed. So with that, Gary, I guess if you have any specific questions, or we can just open it up to the floor for anybody who has any questions.
Let's just open it up to the floor.
Hi, Tony. This is Jane. Dallas had two questions that came up on our board call.
Sure thing.
The first one is, currently we use PayPal on our website for people to pay for meetings. So we were just curious how that would work on your website. I assume people would sign up, and then you would, I guess, what's the turnaround for distributing the money back to our chapter? Would we still use PayPal, or do we close that and you use email?
The way we've got it currently set up is we have one PayPal account that is linked into our Avectra system, and that allows us to take our credit card payments on there. The easiest thing that we would do is we just have a separate revenue account in our accounting software, that any money coming in for, say, Dallas-Fort Worth program coming up, actually it's interesting you mentioned that. I'm in the process of putting your guys' event for November up on the website right now.
Excellent.
Say we have some registrations coming in for Linda Barron's program on November 12th, which sounds like a great program and everybody should go.
Yeah.
That would just be routed to a separate revenue account, and then on regular intervals, however often we decided between us and the chapter would be best, probably on a monthly basis, we would just issue the chapter a check for the total amount that was collected in that revenue during that revenue account during that time period.
Okay, so rather than electronic transfer from your account to our account, it would be a hard copy check?
Most likely. There is a way, I think, to get it set up in our charging system, that rather than going into a separate revenue account and then having the check written, to get it to flow directly into a specific chapter's bank account, but I am not particularly well versed in how that would get set up as of right. So I would say that's a possibility in the future, but maybe not right away.
Tony, this is Mary.
Okay, thank you.
This is Mary Charles. When those charges for a program come in, is there a place in the accounting system where we would be able to find out who they were for and that they had occurred?
You mean who they're coming from?
Yeah, yeah. In other words, will we be able to see the registrations sort of as they occur, or...
What I would be able to do with that is, say it's for an event, I would be able to pull up the list of registrants for the event, and it would show who had paid, who had, where they were from, name, email address, all that.
Okay, now, are we going to be able to do the same thing?
Be able to log in and see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For...
I don't...
For the people who are, like, I'm the program VP for the e-chapter, so I would have a vested interest in knowing about people coming in. who and how many?
I don't know if we would be able to set you up with a specific, with a separate login for AmeriCharles. The way that it generally works to be able to have the login capabilities is you have to purchase a separate license for it, which is a little bit pricey. One idea that has been tossed around would be to purchase just a chapter leader license that any chapter leader we designated would be able to log in under the same profile, but that's certainly far from being finalized. That was just an idea that was tossed around. I think the easiest way, because it's actually very simple for me to pull up that report, and honestly, if you sent me an email in the morning, you know, of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it would take me no more than 5 minutes each day to print off or to pull that report and send it to you.
Great.
So I'd be more than happy to do that.
Thanks.
Tony, this is Doris. Thank you. Piggybacking off that, the second question that we had at the Dallas chapter, I think, goes off of there about the ownership of the document. For example, if a Vectra is managing and handling our membership records and our registration records, is there a way to automate that we receive a copy of who registers in the email or so, as just as a notification in order to help us with how many chairs we need to put up and how many snacks we need to buy and how many copies we need to print and all of that? Because otherwise, you know, this would be adding extra steps to our process to make sure that we remind you to print it off in time or to send it to us. And I guess I'm just wondering, so if, to make sure I understand you correctly, the chapters, unless the chapter leader would buy a license, would not retain access to their own chapter documents and information. It would all have to go through you.
You would have access to the the documents that I would send. Actually, I'm taking a look right now. There may be a way, and I think this is what you're asking. I'm not positive that I can set it up that whenever somebody registers for an event, a notification email can be sent to a designated email address.
Okay.
I believe that there's a way to do that. I'm trying to figure it out right now. I am not positive on that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess let me try. I guess what I'm asking, Doris, is the crux of the issue would then be more concerned about not having a permanent record for the chapter to hold after the event? Is that kind of what it boils down to, or am I missing the point?
Well, it's I guess my concern is I like one of the advantages we're having with the chapter, you know, board activity in the offices right now is that we are all able to keep up to date with who is registered, and we receive notifications, and like we have ownership of our document. You know, we don't have to go ask you to or ask anyone to do it. We can go in and pull it up ourselves.
Right. Okay.
The plus that I think Doris is talking about is that we know as things are going along, and if our advertising is not working well, we'll be able to make a change.
Okay. I guess the best way I can describe it is I don't think that we would be able to grant right now the total access to check on anything at any time, but I would be very happy to provide the necessary information to people as often as was needed.
Okay, sorry, I had muted myself again. Thank you.
Sure.
So, and Tony, it would seem it's really important to, if we could have that email notification. That would take care of it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm still clicking around trying to figure out how. I know I had set it up at one point before. That's something I'm pretty confident I can do. It's just a matter of me calling the support for the software and figuring out exactly where it is again.
You know, I'm concerned that, you know, even if we do get those notifications, that we're going to end up setting up duplicate systems for all the reasons that other chapter leaders have mentioned. You know, we need to monitor attendance if we need to do some better marketing, or this never happens, but if we need to get a bigger room, if all of a sudden we're getting more people than we expect, various of us on the chapter leaders have to do things based on what happens in registration, buy the snacks, liaison with the site, you know, various things that we just really need to be on top of numbers. You know, sometimes we'll get a person that we're not familiar with and who thinks they're a member, they're not a member, or the other way around, and then we need to kick in and communicate with them to make sure that they're aware of their membership status. So I'm not real comfortable with losing total control over the registration process. Mm-hmm. We also make up a sign-in list that's based on registration. We just alter it ever so slightly so that when people arrive, they sign in, and we know that they're there.
And I think in addition to, like Tim is saying, often our events are on the weekend, and on the West Coast, that would mean, Tony, you wouldn't be able to run reports or anything.
Yeah, I didn't even think
about
that.
But if we had the email, at least, that would help.
I guess I'm concerned that what happens, Tony, if we can't get in touch with you for some reason or another to get the latest registrations? I'm getting the impression this is adding another layer of complexity that we might not need.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's sort of been what the e-chapter has done. For the past couple of years with FOSSEB. So it is doable. It's just not as helpful.
I mean, I think those are all very valid concerns. And that's one of those things that's just, a trade-off. If we can't get all of the access necessary at any given time, we're going to do our best to try to give as much information and access as up-to-date as possible. I'll be very willing to work with anybody on that, setting up whatever schedule we need to set up. But, certainly there is the point that I'm, as much as I may feel like it sometimes, I'm not in the office 24/7. I can't pull the report at any given time and get it out to some people, but we can do it as often as requested and necessary.
What are your hours, Tony?
In a perfect world, 9 to 5. In a realistic world, more like 9 to about 7 or 8.
In what time zone?
Eastern Standard.
Thank you.
So is the advantage to us that people can pay with PayPal?
Are we speaking just in terms of registrations?
Yeah, like what's the advantage to the chapters?
The advantage would be it's one large PayPal account that the chapters wouldn't need to pay to maintain, that they wouldn't need to pay to maintain an Eventbrite or a Constant Contact account, wouldn't need to pay separately for a webinar platform. We could all share the webinar platform. The main advantage that we're trying to get to everybody, keeping in mind, is that a lot of the smaller chapters may not have the funds to access all of these resources. And so we try to make it affordable for them, and for a lot of the larger chapters, they may not have the volunteer manpower, the volunteer time to manage all of the things intricated in the databases. So we're trying to make it accessible for everybody.
Would you also market our programs? Because we use Constant Contact to send out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Once we've got a chapter set up in the system, all you basically need to do is send along the text of whatever email you'd like, or even just a general overview, and I can compose it. And it can go out to either specific chapters, specific member types within a chapter, or the organization at large. All right, who else do we have out there that's holding on to a question?
Hi, I have a question.
Sure.
I'm new to this, so I'm sorry if this has already been addressed, but can you tell me what the cost of this service is compared to these other services we are using, such as Eventbrite or Constant Contact?
Sure. We sent out the payment schedule a little while ago to all the chapters.
Okay.
As if it didn't reach everybody, but there's basically two levels. The basic one, which is $1 per member per year for the basic membership management services, renewals, capturing member data online, dues collection, automated reminders, things like that. And that's $1 per member per year. By contrast, a similar membership management service by the name of Wild Apricot starts at $25 per month. So that gets pretty expensive pretty quickly. The second level is includes the marketing support, the newsletter distribution, event registration, creation, payments, things like that. And that's $2 per member per year. That includes all of the basic member services we mentioned above. And as a comparison, I think Constant Contact charges $15 per month for just emails and another $15 for event registrations. And then in addition to that, we would be giving anybody who wanted to pay an additional $100 per year access to whatever webinar platform we're using. And as comparison for that, GoToWebinar charges $99 per month, as opposed to the $100 per year that we're offering. So about 1/12 of the total cost.
You are now muted.
And Tony, is it possible to just get the webinar only?
That was something that we had discussed. I'm actually going to need to pull that up on the next board meeting we have to decide for sure on that.
Great, because we're currently using Constant Contact and liking it, but we don't have any webinar possibility.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, I'll make sure we get that settled by the next board meeting, and I will make sure to relate that there is interest from at least one chapter on utilizing just the webinar platform.
Tony, this is Julie from Sacramento. I would also go that route. We really do like our Constant Contact, but we do appreciate having access to the webinar platform.
Okay, sure.
Make that three.
Chicago 2.
There you go.
I'll mark it down as significant interest.
There you go. Tony, this is Julie again. I may have overlooked the email that had this proposal with the prices. Is it going to be sent out again? Or do you know which date it was sent out? Maybe I just overlooked it.
Oh, goodness.
It's on the Google group.
Are you still out there? I think you may have been the one who actually disseminated it for me. Do you recall?
It was sent on September 22nd. I'm just looking at it.
Great. I will look for that.
It's posted online at the Google group for chapter list.
Muting canceled.
And I have two places I can go for it. Thank you.
Sure.
Tony, this is Deborah Loben from Chicago, and I have a question about the website.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, events have been listed in both under both events and chapters. Is that intention? Are we going back to that?
Can you say that one more time for me, Deborah? I'm having a hard time understanding you with the echo.
Hold on, just one second.
Get rid of it.
Is this any better?
No.
Not particularly, no.
Okay.
On the
website, in the past, events for the chapters have been listed on both events and the chapters in two places.
Okay.
Is that something we're going back to?
So you mean, for example, it would be listed under events and training, and then if I was to pull up the Chicago chapter page on the website, we would have upcoming events listed for the Chicago chapter there as well?
Correct.
That was not something I was currently doing, but it certainly is something I could be doing. That wouldn't be difficult at all.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you.
Welcome.
And if you can understand what I'm saying well enough, I do have one other question. We are very focused on programming here in Chicago, and what would be really helpful is if there were a place on the website that we could go to see either potential speakers that have spoken at other chapters, something to help us plan our programming.
Okay. That's a very interesting idea. Let me speak with Mike Shore a little bit about that. He's our director of education and training.
Mm-hmm.
If maybe we can't come up with an idea for maybe a list of past speakers or a searchable function for past speakers or heck, maybe even an option on the profile that if anybody wanted to list themselves as an available speaker, they could list themselves as such.
Yes. That's what I was thinking. Is that it could be?
Don't we?
Sorry,
this is Doris again. I remember someone, one of the Garys, I think, preparing a list of all the speakers at all the chapters. I remember, I think it was floating around like a Word document.
That's true. It was
last year.
A couple months ago.
Yeah.
Is that something that someone could send to me? Or post on the website?
Do you remember who compiled that list? Because I don't.
Gary Williams compiled the list.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm getting ready to resend the Avectra catapult stuff.
So Gary compiled the list based on our last annual reports, and maybe he could send it to us.
I sent you a copy, so I'll find it. I'll find it too.
Can this be distributed to all of the chapters?
I'm sending it on the chapter leaders, so the chapter leaders will have to send it.
Are you emailing it?
I'm sending it to the Google group.
Is it possible for you to email it? I don't know how to get to the Yahoo.
Is it Yahoo or is it Google? I don't know how to reach it either.
Whichever one it is, I don't think I can get it.
How about sending email to api.chapter.lbrs@gmail.com.
And who would that go to?
Is it possible to ask a question now?
Sure.
Okay. This is Anne from the Minnesota chapter. And Tony, we're looking at totally overhauling our website. It's pretty archaic. So we're trying to figure out what we should do independently on our site and what you at Avectra would take care of, or Catapult, I can't remember, I'm sorry. So how would you recommend we go about how we do our website and what we can get from your group?
That's going to be a long answer.
Okay.
Why don't we schedule a time that we can have a call and we can really delve into it.
Good.
Maybe next week?
Yeah, Gary, if we could arrange for that, because I think that's our biggest issue, isn't it, is what to do with our own website and how we can hook into this program as well.
This is Julie again from Sacramento. I'd be interested to participate in that discussion too, because our Sacramento website is needing a complete overhaul.
Okay.
This is Ellen from Seattle, and I our issue is that we're not even listed on the website.
Oh, my goodness.
Gary, if you could just schedule the call. I've got to put myself on mute and focus on something else for a minute here. I'm sorry.
And Ellen, was it, are you, you're from Seattle, Ellen? Is that correct?
Yes.
You know what? I am so sorry about that. If you could send all of the information, any information you have on that, to info@aptinternational.com. I will get that put up immediately.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I'm curious about who the person from Chicago who wanted a list of the program so we can make sure we get that to you.
It's me. It's Deborah Logan.
Perfect.
Thank you.
What other questions does anybody have for Tony or questions in general?
This is Janet from San Diego. Tony, thank you, by the way, for all the past CEU help you've given me. I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
Can I ask a rudimentary question? When you were describing the fees, your prices per member, but define member. In my chapter, we have 375 contacts we mail meeting notices to, but we have fewer than 25 bona fide members. How do you charge?
Just the members. The list of contacts, great. I'm excited. That's a great source of potential future members and meeting attendees for everybody. But this is just dues-paying members of the chapters that we're looking at.
Including affiliate members?
Affiliate members, you meaning members of the chapter but not members of APTI overall?
Yes,
that's correct. However many members your chapter has.
Are you able to accommodate whether a chapter uses rolling membership where people can join on any day around the year versus having a fixed membership time?
Yes. We can set it up either way, whatever the chapters prefer, or whatever any individual chapter prefers.
But at what point in time will you count the number of members?
Most likely just the first of the year or January in general when we're doing the annual chapter renewal process.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
This is Doris again. I have a follow-up question for the conference. The videos that were taken and the videos that were shown, the MIT-style presentation, are they up somewhere?
They are not up yet. I actually only have about two of them from the presenters. They all got emailed their videos a while back and given instructions to send them back to me as soon as they're satisfied with the way they look. Dove Pollack and I have been giving everybody a hard time about it, but I've still only received two, maybe three as of right now. So we're waiting to get a few more up at or a few more in, and then we're going to start putting them up online.
And so one thing, the conference section on the aptinternational.org?
I'm sorry?
They would be on the conference tab?
What we're likely going to do is we're going to put the one or two select ones on the homepage, one or two select ones on the conference page, and then all of them will be available in our archives so that you can search them by keyword and posting date and publishing date and title and all that sort of thing.
Okay. Wonderful. Thanks.
So there are some videos already posted. If you look at there's a new movie or a new video, and at the end of the video, there's a YouTube link, and there's at least one MMTI, it's the one where type and movement, but there are at least different videos from the conference.
Yes, we do have, the ones that I do have are up on YouTube, they just haven't been embedded in the website yet. In fact, I believe Judah Pollack actually just yesterday finished uploading his Millennials in Type speak, or Millennials in Type presentation. So that's up there. And let me see what else we have up there.
What will I find that under Type Conference 2011 or?
You can just search for our our YouTube, I guess, tag or YouTube name, whatever you call it. It's just APTI type, T-Y-P-E, with no space.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Sure.
And you can get it by looking at the video, and the link is at the end of the new video.
What about handouts from the conference?
We are in the process of trying to get those uploaded, but we've got about 1.5 million things that need to find their way up to the website somehow. So eventually those will be made available in the archive section, possibly with a few key links in the conference section, but those are not up, but going up soon.
Okay. And this is not related to the conference, but a couple other things that I was just checking around with. Type practitioners in our area, I get an error screen, and members in our area, I don't seem to be able to do that, whereas I used to be able to.
Right. Those links are from the old website. They're going to be linked to new places. So if you just have the old link, aptinternational.org/thing like that, it's not going to work, that link to the old FACEB site. The easiest way or what the equivalent is going to be for the new website is going to be the individual directory where if you want to find a type practitioner in your area, we have the ability to, anybody who identifies as a type practitioner can enter themselves as such on the website on their personal profile. And then to search, you can specify, you just click the type practitioner and then narrow down the geographic area that you'd like to search.
Okay, so that'll be sometime in the future?
Well, right now it's actually up and functional. It's under the individual directory search. Just not everybody who is a type practitioner has identified themselves as such on there, so the selection is fairly limited. But in one of the next emails I'm sending out, that will be included as an update. So if people want to be searchable as being a type practitioner, then they should go online and identify themselves as such.
Where on the website find that?
Yep. Once you've logged in, you need to be able to log in to view the to view that portion of the website, and I'm going to go ahead and log in now myself. And once you are logged in, it is under individual directory on the left-hand side, and if you look down at the bottom right above Myers-Briggs four-letter type, you see the MBTI practitioner little type button, and you can click that and search.
Thank you.
And it actually returns me as an MBTI practitioner, which is not true. I was just testing to make sure the function was correct.
Tony, did you get my email earlier saying that the link to the referral network, the internal one, is broken as well, so some internal links need to be updated from FASTA to NetForum?
Yes, I did get that email. Thank you for that.
Okay.
And what about members in our area? If we want to see who in our area is an APTI full member as opposed to just our chapter member, how do we do that?
That would be the same thing. Just going to individual directory, you can type in city, state, territory, code, or even just
I typed
country.
In Pennsylvania and nothing happened. I can't seem to find it again, but I did it earlier today.
Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Look here. We've got Pennsylvania, and then...
Wait, tell me how you even get there. I did it this morning, but now I'm not seeing individual directory. What do I have to click on to get individual directory?
You've got
to
log in first.
I already did, but I guess I'm logged out.
There's no Pennsylvania names listed. I can't see them either.
Okay, well, let's take a look here. We'll see if we can't figure out what's going on. All right. What I did was I typed in Pennsylvania for the state and the territory, and then we wanted to find members of the national organization instead of just members of a specific chapter. So I went down to member type, and I put in regular annual membership. You could also look up lifetime members, retiree members, student members, APTI, e-chapter members.
So I need to click on each one of those to ultimately see who in my chapter is an APTI member?
Nope, these are just options.
Well, then how do I do a one-stop shopping to find out who? Because I have three states also to check.
Okay, let's check.
Sounds like a lot of clicking around to try and get some sort of comprehensive list. Because I, you know, we need to do that every time that we write a report, the annual.
Let's see here.
I didn't get Pennsylvania. Well, let me, just so we don't take up individual time here, when it comes annual report time, because that's just a few months away, is it possible from APTI to just get a list in our area? Because I'm also, I did pull up the Pennsylvania members, and I don't want to have to, like, print out the whole thing. And, you know, it would be much easier if I could just get, like, a list of name that they're members. And Can we request that at the time when we need to write the report and check?
Yeah, let me go ahead and I'll see what it returns when I pull up the report on the back end of the system. Searching for, here we go. That makes a lot more sense. I've got right now just typing it in the back end. I can pull up if anybody whose primary address is located in Pennsylvania. And I could narrow it down to member types, only people who are active, et cetera, et cetera, and export it in a Microsoft Excel file.
Okay, so we can request that from you and get a simple, you know, three states who are our members?
Right.
Okay.
Something is wrong with Pennsylvania's data, though, because if you contrast it with any other state, like I'm searching on California, you don't have to specify membership type. You can just name the state and get pages of names, but not for Pennsylvania. Something's amiss.
Interesting. I will have to look into that and try to find out exactly what's wrong with Pennsylvania. Yeah, it works for us.
You're right. I just did that.
Very unusual. All right. Well, let me make a note of that, and I will look into that as well.
Tony, a quick question about event marketing email.
Sure.
How much individualization can be allowed for chapters? Because I think a lot of us probably have our own logo, our colors, our brand theme, our mission statements, things like that that we are currently putting into our event emails. What were you picturing as to how that would work if you're doing the event marketing for workshops?
We can make it look however you want it to look.
So you're going to customize for every single chapter?
If you send the event marketing option we have in the system allows me to copy and paste into the email anything exactly from a Microsoft Word document. So if you had something entirely customized that you wanted to put in, as long as it was in a Microsoft Word document, it could be put in with no problem.
And, of course, everything I have is HTML because it's in constant contact or coming off our website.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we can put it in under HTML as well. We have both options.
Okay, that would be helpful.
So when is the Avexa training going to be? Is there going to be a training for the webmasters of the chapters?
Again, that's another item I'm not sure of because I don't know if we're able to grant access to the chapter webmasters without purchasing the individual licenses for them.
How much is an individual license?
I think it's a little over $2,000. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. But there may be an option for us to to look and see if we can get a limited license that's functional just for certain parts of it or something like that, not the database overall. But, again, that's not something I'm sure of right now.
Now, is this something that's required that we all buy into?
These services we're offering?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, not at all. This is entirely optional. If you like the system you currently have and you think it fits your needs perfectly and you like everything about it, yeah, absolutely. No, that's perfectly fine. We're just trying to offer one more option to chapters just so, you know, if maybe you don't like the way one thing is working or this particular feature of you know, a GoToWebinar seems like it's too expensive, just giving everybody another option. No, this is certainly not mandatory for anybody to get involved with.
Well, that,
I apologize. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Isn't that the $2 per member that you're talking about? That if people are going to keep the APTI benefit, they have to do the dollar.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
That in order to stay a member of APTI and get the insurance and the nonprofit, that you have to sign up for the basic
system. No, not at all. If you're looking at the proposal that we sent out, at the end there is the list of services that we are continuing to provide at no cost, because these are things that we just do to support our chapters and we're going to continue to. That's things like the tax filing, the 501c3 status, everything like that. Anything on here that has a charge on it, that's entirely optional for the chapters to decide. So if your chapter is currently operating, you know, your membership renewal system is just a spiral bound notebook where you write down when people have paid, that's perfectly fine. You can stick with that. We're just trying to offer a few more options.
But the insurance and all that, that's the $15 per head. This is all something different.
The $15 per head, that is the fee, that's the fee that was already instituted by APTI for chapter members that are non-APTI members.
Right.
Okay, yes. As far as I know, that's going to be continuing. I haven't heard anything to the contrary on that. And again, I apologize if I was scaring anybody by making this seem mandatory. This is by no stretch of the imagination required. I'm not trying to bully anybody into anything they don't want.
We didn't feel bullied.
I'm sorry?
We didn't feel bullied.
Okay. Thank goodness.
Yeah. And Charles, thank you for putting that list.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Is there anybody here from the LA chapter?
The LA chapter?
We just wanted to congratulate them one more time. And our next call is scheduled
November
the 10th for the regular chapter leader meeting.
This is Phoebe Clark from Houston, and I was wondering if we have a current listing of services for affiliate members, what is provided to them.
I am not entirely sure if I have that in front of me. I'm going to have to do some digging and see if I can find that in our records.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, I believe that was...
Tony, it's all in the information that was sent out for the affiliation process in January. And I don't know whether that information
is
back on the web.
You know, what could help, though, I am familiar, this is Julie from Sacramento, I am familiar with the information that was sent out. What would be helpful if somebody could put it together would be a matrix comparison of what full members get versus affiliate members, because there's some question, are there, Do they have access to the website? Are there any types of things other than the fact that the chapters get to continue and certainly get the helpful overhead of the insurance and the tax and that type of thing? But are there any types of benefits to individuals? That could be really helpful to see.
Primarily, I think it's just that they get to get the notices from APTI of programs that are coming up.
Okay. Yeah, that would be a good example. And again, it could help us in being able to market people to be joining APTI as full members. But there is some confusion, certainly in our membership, as to what do people get as the affiliate, as opposed to it just being a compliance situation.
Great suggestion.
Thanks.
Are we done?
It sort of seems that way if there are no more questions.
Gary, are you going to arrange a call with him independently for our chapter to talk about how we're doing our website and how we can interface with them? And then that other chapter who wanted to participate in the call, too?
I don't know if Gary got off.
Oh, okay. Tony, are you there?
If he's just talking and on mute and doesn't realize it.
Okay.
What were the chapters who wanted to discuss the website? I believe it was
Twin Cities.
And was it Sacramento?
Sacramento.
Okay.
And it may be helpful to let all of us know when the call is, and then people could join in if they want
it. Sure.
Perfect.
I'd love to hear.
I'll try to schedule a time sometime next week that we can all get together on that.
Good. And just spread the word. That'd be great.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm going to sign off now.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tony.
Thanks.